From NPR News, this is live special coverage of the 10th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. I'm Audie Cornish. Today, the nation is remembering September 11th, 2001, the day terrorists took the lives of nearly 3,000 people on American soil and changed the world. Today, as then, it is a beautiful morning in New York, the sun streaming down on two reflecting pools, marking the spot where the Twin Towers once stood. At Ground Zero, where once two of the tallest buildings in the world stood, a slow, steady drumbeat began the solemn ceremony. A youth chorus from Brooklyn sang the national anthem, and New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg marked the moment, 8:46 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, when American Airlines Flight 11 from Boston slammed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center.
And in remembrance of all those who died in New York in 1993 and 2001, at the Pentagon, and in the fields near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, please join in observing our first moment of silence.
It was the first of six moments of silence as the nation marked with painful accuracy the moments the hijacked commercial airliners struck in New York, at the Pentagon, and crashed into a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and those terrible seconds when each tower came down. Nearly 3,000 people died that day.
Terrence Edward Adderley Jr.
Sophia B. Addo.
Lee Throughout the day, Adler. Relatives and friends will read Daniel out the names Thomas of those who Aplita. Lost their lives.
Emmanuel Akwasi Afakwa.
Alok Agarwal.
Mukul Kumar Agarwala.
There were no speeches in New York. Instead, only readings from presidents and mayors, governors, and those who lost loved ones in the attacks.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea.
I feel how weak and fruitless must be any words of mine, which should attempt to beguile you from the grief of a loss so overwhelming. But I cannot refrain from tendering to you the consolation that may be found in the thanks of the Republic they died to save.
I hope that I can make my father proud of the young men that my brother and I have become. I miss you so much, Dad.
Freedom from fear anywhere in the world. That is our goal.
Mom, I am proud to be your daughter. You will always be my hero and the pride of New York City.
A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. God bless every soul that we lost. God bless the family members who have to endure that loss. And God guide us to our reunion in heaven. And God bless the United States of America.
President Obama, President Bush, Peter Negron, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, Patricia Smith, and former New York Mayor Rudolph Giuliani. Yo-Yo Ma played the cello at Ground Zero this morning.
Amazing grace.
At the Pentagon, the heart of America's military might, soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines stood in their serried ranks and family members looked on as the armed forces remembered those who died in the impact of American Airlines Flight 77.
No music can assuage. No tongue can express. No prayer alone may dampen the yearning that must fire yet inside you. Lives ended in this place. Dreams were shattered. Futures were instantly altered. Hopes were tragically dashed.
Admiral Mike Mullen at the Pentagon. Back in New York, Paul Simon played The Sounds of Silence, and names were read. In a field outside of Shanksville, Pennsylvania, a crowd gathered to remember the passengers of United Airlines Flight 93, who, hearing of the fate of the other planes that day, rose up against the hijackers and caused their plane to plunge to the ground rather than be used as a weapon. President Obama will lay a wreath in Shanksville later today. Tonight, he gives a national address from Washington. A memorial service today in Afghanistan for those who died on September 11th, 2001.
Ya ayyuhal insanu ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem alladhi khalaqaka fasawwaka fa'adalak fi ayyi suratin ma sha'a rakkabak.
Amullah reciting verses of the Quran opened a ceremony this morning at the U.S. Embassy in Kabul. War in Afghanistan against al-Qaeda and the Taliban government came quickly after the attacks of 9/11. More than 2,700 American and international forces troops, plus thousands of Afghan civilians, have died in nearly 10 years of fighting there. They were remembered today by the man who took over command of U.S. and NATO forces from General David Petraeus, General John Allen.
At times like these, I'm reminded of Lawrence Binion's epic poem, For the Fallen, and the lines, "They shall grow not old, as we who are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we shall remember them. We shall remember them." And today, we renew that sacred pledge. We will not let this happen again. We will finish the job here in Afghanistan together with the Afghan people. We will prevail. We will prevail.
General John Allen this morning in Kabul. Morning Edition's Renee Montaigne was at that ceremony and joins us now. Renee, what was it like there at the American Embassy in Afghanistan on this day?
Audie, in many ways, it reflected the poignant and painful moments that we've just been hearing on the program. There were prayers, there was taps, there was a moment of silence. We watched as two Marines slowly lowered the American flag to half-mast where it stood over the embassy today. Afghan officials, embassy staff, top generals from the international coalition all sat together in the shade of a large canopy. The difference, obviously, is that in this place, in Afghanistan, this is where the war is. And General Allen also talked about the fight.
"We have ripped them from their strongholds, and we have them on their heels. They have responded with a series of high-profile attacks, a wave of terror, seeking to frighten the Afghan people into submission. It is not working. They offer nothing to the people of Afghanistan but a return to the darkness of the 90s, and they will lose."
Renee, you first traveled to Afghanistan shortly after the Taliban regime had been driven out.
I did indeed, and it's hard to imagine now almost how hopeful many Afghans were in those early months. It seemed that peace was truly at hand. I mean, suddenly millions of Afghans who'd fled the previous two decades of war began returning in an unprecedented flow of people coming home. And by the time I got here, you could hear music being played all over Kabul. Men had cut off the beards that the Taliban had forced them to grow. I mean, in the countryside, you talk to men rebuilding mud walls around their ruined orchards. Women were going back to work occasionally. Some were taking off their burqas. It was really a place where you could believe what the international community at that time was promising, which was a bright, bright future.
And there actually was.
And yet, Audie, 10 years later, 10 years later, that hope, a lot of it has evaporated.
That was going to be my next question, Renee. The idea of this conflict ending by the time troops are due to leave in 2014, do you get the sense that people believe that's the case?
Well, I do get the sense that people believe in the Afghan National Army to the degree it's a work in progress, but it is something that, you know, there's a lot of talk about. First of all, people here, it's gained a lot of respect, and NATO forces here leaving in 2014 or should be out, and really what is being pointed to now is some sort of reconciliation talks with the Taliban.
NPR's Renee Montaigne in Kabul, Afghanistan. Renee, thank you so much.
Adi, thank you very much.
You're listening to live special coverage of the 10th anniversary of the September 11th attacks from NPR News.